Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local wrestling scene in and around Georgia, as well as interviews with newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Thanks for listening to the third anniversary episode of Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com with Joshua Von Wheeler. How are you tonight, Josh?
I'm doing terrific. Is this really the third anniversary of the show?
It is. I think last week technically would have been more appropriate. It was sometime in mid-October 3 years ago, but I failed to mention it last week and remembered it today, so today is our third anniversary.
Wow.
And,
wow.
Yeah. So, 3 years of boring Georgia wrestling listeners.
Well, I can guarantee you this show will not be boring.
Yeah. Well, we've got the
Lethal
of those
Strychnine.
I'll guarantee
that.
Who, actually, I was looking back, Strychnine filled in as co-host last year on the second anniversary show. And he's been a frequent guest over the last 3 years, so it's appropriate that he's here tonight. But he also has a lot to talk about. He tagged with Jimmy Rave at Peach State Wrestling Alliance on Saturday before Jimmy Rave drove quite a distance to AWE, which I'm sure we will talk about in a moment. He also defended the MCW title at Chambers of Horror on Wednesday. And he wrestled at APW, where he will be again for Nightmare on Cherry Street this Friday against CB Suave in a flaming tables match, followed by Fright Night at Anarchy on Saturday, where he's in a cage. I think he won a number one contenders match of some sort, but he's in a cage with like six people for the title.
That's one of the things I noticed, that Anarchy's got these like multiple man cage matches. I saw the commercial last night. Brett Wolverton put it on YouTube. I got to look at it, and I was like, holy shit, all these multiple man matches. Everybody loves multiple man matches now. Multiple man matches. So,
yeah.
Hey, you know, I don't know. I guess I'm a traditionalist. I guess I like one-on-one.
One-on-one or tag team.
I never was an orgy guy, Jerry.
Who's Jerry?
It's a Seinfeld reference.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
I
thought I'd throw out a Seinfeld reference. I'm in a good mood. Somewhat of a good mood.
That's rare, so that's good.
Yeah, it is. It is rare. I'm in a good mood because I'm back in Georgia full time. I got to put up with the same bullshit that I've been putting up with this fucking state since 2004. But hey, at least I'm back here full time. I can actually go around, and I'm actually driving right now, so if this sounds like shit, I apologize in advance, but I'm driving to go talk to a good friend of mine, and we'll go from there. So, I'm getting my connections back up, you know, networking like a motherfucker, and do what I can, because according to some, oh my God, I'm bleeding money. Oh my God, I'm bleeding money.
Well, I'm having some technical difficulties on my end, so that might affect the sound tonight as well. But before we go any further, I think we should at least mention Ox Baker passed away today, I believe, at the age of 80. So I don't think we can do a 10-bell salute or anything like that, but just wanted to acknowledge it. Of course, he's a great from the from a very different era of wrestling.
But you know what? Ox Baker, technically speaking, changed the course of Georgia professional wrestling. And here's a history lesson. This is Georgia Wrestling Now. I'm going to throw out a history lesson since we used to be on Georgia Wrestling History. Rumor has it Ox Baker hit Ray Gunkel with a heart punch, killing Ray Gunkel, which then led to his wife and Gunkel taking over his part of the territory, which then there was a huge split, I guess, with Barnett's part of the crew. and that's when Ann Gunkel went to Ted Turner and got the second hour of Georgia All-Star Wrestling on TBS Superstation, which, of course, became the precursor to the, you know, the Crockett promotion and all of that good shit. So not only did a three-year anniversary, not only are we, you know, saying our passing to them, but, I mean, really, it's a moment that changed the history of this business. And I don't know if it's for the better now that I look back in hindsight. Because it all led to Vince McMahon taking his dick out and jacking off. Just saying, I'm the king of the world. And everyone's got a new casket match in October.
Well, that is interesting. And speaking of Vince McMahon, we were both at Raw last Monday.
Yeah, I thought that fucking show sucked, but that's just my opinion.
Well, I agree with you, and I saw people posting on Facebook about how great it was. I thought the two main event matches that were taped before were better than anything that happened on Raw. And,
I thought Kofi and Cesaro busted their ass, and I felt Dolph and Randy had a great match.
That one was good. Those Wyatt promos. Those Wyatt promos were the best part of the show.
Yeah, I don't even remember the Wyatt promos, to be honest with you. That's how it just, like, I'll be honest with you. My favorite part of the entire Raw, besides, you know, handing out flyers with my street team guy who was dressed as Sting, was literally Mizdow.
Yeah.
That dude had me rolling. Like, he is, the way he's doing the character is absolutely fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I saw pictures of where he dressed up like Sheamus, I guess, on SmackDown the next night, which aired Friday, of course, funny.
He by far is one of the best characters going right now. I think it sucks that he's stuck in that character, and, you know, God forbid anything that he gets released or anything, because, I mean, shit, if he gets released, I'm going to have to book him, you know, I'm going to have to pay him and bring him up to, you know, to lose some more money. But you know what? I keep taking tongue-in-cheek posts. I love Larry Goodman, and Larry might call in, he might not. I don't care. I love Larry. I got the utmost respect for Larry, and I thought the review of the show's fair. But again, you know, yes, okay. I took a loss the last show. Oh my God! Let me tell you guys something. And I've never really said this to anybody, Jonathan. I don't even know if I told you this. My dad committed suicide back in June. 2 days before Father's Day. You think I give a fuck about a dollar bill? Literally. Does anybody out there that lives in this fucking shit show podcast think I care about a dollar bill right now? My dad committed suicide right before fucking Father's Day. That shook the world that I live in. And it sent me into a downward spiral of fucking, you know what? I'm gonna fucking fix shit. Because this world has a mental health issue. This world's got a lot of issues. And I did not know my father was as depressed as this happened. And I didn't know a lot of shit. And I vowed on June 13th of 2014 that I was going to fucking do everything in my goddamn power to change the perception of professional wrestling. And I'm going to tell you why I made that vow. Because the only thing my dad and I ever had in common was our love for professional goddamn wrestling. And I am going to preach the fucking gospel of wrestling until I fucking die. And if I got to lose money to do it, if I got to pay Drew Galloway to come to Atlanta, Georgia, or Canton, Georgia, wherever, I'm going to fucking do it. And if you people don't like me doing it, fuck you. I don't need you fuckers anyway. I know a lot of you motherfuckers don't like me and will never like me. And you're not going to like me because I challenge the status quo. And the Georgia status quo is real simple. What worked in members in 1971 is going to work now. What Vince is doing on TV is going to work now. Well, fuck you all. Fuck you all. Fuck this entire fucking stupid-ass fucking redneck state. It's got to progress, and I'm the only motherfucker with the balls to do it. And you know that's true, Jonathan. You cannot discount that. So, yeah, I'm in a good mood. I'm in a good mood because this is your three-year anniversary, and I quit. I hate doing this podcast. I hate doing this fucking promotional shit for these crappy wrestling shows in Georgia that don't mean shit. The only show in Georgia that matters to me is goddamn Anarchy and my own. Oh, and Rossville and Empire, because those are good people, and they do good business. The rest of you motherfuckers can all kiss my fucking ass. I quit.
Well, good thing we do have Larry Goodman on the line, because it looks like I'm going to need a co-host for the rest of the show.
Damn.
Yeah, well, I didn't see that coming. How are you tonight, Larry?
Well, I'm okay. Yeah, we're just calling in to talk a little bit about Josh's show, but I guess that's not going to happen, at least not with him. And I know he's not on the line, but I'm sorry for the loss of his dad. I didn't know how his dad died. And I'm, you know, sorry for his loss and sorry that it happened the way it happened.
Well, we were both at the show. Is that what you wanted to talk about, or were you just calling?
Well,
in?
I mean, I pretty much wrote what I was really responding to what he was going to call and respond. We said about the money losing because I did reference that in the report. Although I guess he just pretty well answered that just now about the money loss part. He doesn't really care about that. And for me, I can just say he gave the fans a treat and. You know, if he's willing to spend the money to do that, he gave them something they're not going to see anywhere else. And it was certainly a treat for me to see Drew Galloway and see Drew Rick Galloway and Jimmy Rave.
Yeah, it was a great match. And then after the match, of course, Drew Galloway had, you know, he was very encouraging. Of course, he probably is not used to wrestling in front of 80 people or however many it was. But he was encouraging and said that if people kept coming and the crowds got better and everything, or, you know, he just basically said if they keep putting on shows like that, that the crowds will come. So hopefully that's the case, because I thought the whole show was great, especially that main event, which I think we all expected to be good, but I don't know if we expected it to be as good as it was. But, yeah.
Yeah, I expected it to be good. And like you just said, I didn't expect it to be as good as it was. One of the things that really struck me about it was the ability to mix that, you know, the entertainment stuff that they did in that match with a serious match and not lose and be able to balance the two. And it reminded me of like going to shows at the Omni in the 80s and so forth, and where, you know, they would do shtick stuff and comedy stuff. But when it was time to go, they could really go, and they could change gears like that, and it still suspended disbelief, even if they had done some comedy stuff, excuse me, earlier in the match. And I thought Jimmy and Drew Galloway pulled that off beautifully, and that it still felt like a contest, even though they did some funny stuff, you know, like having the kid come up on the apron and flap his arms and stuff. That it all worked. It all really worked.
Right. Well, we've got a caller from 615 area code. Who's this?
Hi, this is Charles. Chicken Hat?
Chicken Hat Charles, how are you?
Fine. I'm just listening to your show for a little bit. I'm on my way home from an outing. And I'm just listening to the show right now. I just dialed in. I'm on the cell right now. I have like 3 minutes on it.
All right. Did you have something to say or ask in that 3 minutes?
Well, I didn't expect to. I was just listening. I guess I must have bumped a number or something.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we appreciate you calling. Larry, you know Chicken Hat well. Do you have anything
yeah,
to add?
Yeah, Chicken Hat. I'm curious, Charles, what kind of outing are you on?
Well, I just got back from lunch and a movie, and I'm on my way home.
What movie did you see?
Yeah, I lead a real sheltered life most of the time.
Well, Chicken Head, what movie did you see?
I saw Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, Not So Good Day. I'm sure that's not the proper title, but it was a pretty good flick.
Thumbs up?
Yeah.
I saw that, and I would give it a thumbs down. But I guess we just have different tastes in movies, Chicken Hat. But thanks
yeah.
for calling. I muted him again because I guess he accidentally indicated that he wanted to come on the line.
One thing, going back to what Josh was saying on a little different subject, he was talking about the passing of Ox Baker and the significance of that, and you know, him getting you know, in this in storyline that his heart punch killed Ray Gunkel. It was actually not Barnett wasn't involved yet at that point, I don't believe. It was the Fuller Welch family and Eddie Graham that stepped in to grab power when Gunkel died at that point. But I like Dr. Spaker. I got to see him at the both up in the Chicago area and then down at here at the tail end of his career when he was really like, boy, it was kind of painful to watch him wrestle because he was kind of limping around, but he was such a great character. It was always fun just to hear him talk.
Yeah, or, I mean, just looking at him, he's not, you know, you don't see guys like that in wrestling anymore.
No. And of course, that's one of the problems that in wrestling is too many guys just look like regular guys.
Yeah. Did you attend any other wrestling events since over the weekend or last week?
I did not. I was on vacation the previous weekend, so the only thing I went to was the AWE show. I cannot shed any light on any other shows to any significance.
All right.
So you didn't know Josh was. You had no idea Josh was going to do that, huh?
No, I haven't talked to him since Saturday after the AWE show at the after party that they had at Sidelines. And before I left, he asked who we were having on Monday, and I told him, and you know that was kind of it. He was like, "All right, talk to you Monday." So it was a surprise to me, as much as it was to anyone else, the dozens who might be listening.
Well, if he said he was in a good mood, I'd hate to see him in a bad mood if that was a good mood.
Yeah, I had the same thought, but, you know, I honestly, I don't know him that well. I know him from the show. I've met him in person two or three times maybe. So I don't know what a good mood sounds like. And I also don't know what kind of triggered that all of that tonight, but you know, we'll see what happens.
One more thing about the money loss on that show. To me, it's like I don't care if he loses money or not, except if losing money means there's no more show. And I took what he said tonight to mean that that's, you know, and not that I'd heard that was the case at all, that there wouldn't be shows because they were losing money, but that would be kind of my thing. If you're losing money to the point where there's no more show, then maybe you need to do business differently. But if you've got the money to spend and you don't care about losing money, which is pretty much what I heard him saying.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's obviously any concern with money would be that you eventually will run out and won't be able to do the show anymore. But, I mean, they already have November 22nd, I believe it is, announced. It's ladies' night, I believe. Females get in for free.
Yes, all ladies admitted free.
And then they have dates for December in Canton and then January at Opera Nightclub in Midtown. So I would assume if they have announced the dates, they at least have enough money to get through those shows. But, you know, I'll talk to Josh once we're done with the show tonight and find out what's going on, find out if he is, in fact, done being co-host of this show, and just what the future holds. But yeah, I mean, I have no idea how much it costs to get Drew Galloway, but I would imagine it's not cheap since he's the Evolved champion and he's a former WWE star and he doesn't live nearby, so you have to get him here. But yeah, I agree. I mean, if he's got the resources to do it and can do it without becoming another Ronnie Gossett.
Yeah, that's there you go. There's my thing about the money loss. If you lose money and then start stiffing people because of it and the false advertising, blah 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 blah, then that's a different story.
Yeah. Well, I know Josh is not trying to be that kind of promoter.
No.
So he did just move back to become full-time AWE promoter again, so I assume he's got some sort of plan and maybe some money saved up or something. I don't know. He does have sponsors, like you mentioned in your review.
And by no means was I attempting to paint him with the same brush as a Ronnie Gossett kind of person.
Yeah, I don't.
I mean,
I don't
like, Matt Riviera, who, you know, ran TCW, I mean, I don't know how much money he lost. I understood that, you know, he the dude had a whole bunch of money, but I would think he had to have lost a pretty fair sum on that deal. But I guess he had it to blow.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, still awaiting Strychnine's call. But are you going to? I'm assuming you're going to Fright Night this Saturday.
I'm going to go. Yeah, I am going to go to Fright Night and see the All Cage affair. And as one pretty astute observer pointed out to me, said he thought it was either going to be probably not in much in the middle. Either it was going to be really good or it was not going to be good at all, and probably not much chance of it being a middling show. They're definitely taking a chance, and we'll see if they pull it off.
Yeah. Oh, I just realized we do have Strychnine. I thought it was still Chicken Hat, but it is Strychnine. And because I was having some technical difficulties with Blog Talk Radio, I wasn't able to upload his entrance music, so we're just going to go straight into it. How are you doing tonight, Strychnine?
I'm doing good. I missed something. Who / what is it, Chicken Hat?
Chicken Hat Charles is a guy in Tennessee, isn't it, Larry?
He is a Nashville guy, yes. Yes, an infamous Nashville fan who's been known to attack wrestlers and get into physical stuff, but a passionate, avid fan who attends many, many shows and shows up all over the place.
And he listens to this show every week via he calls in instead of listening to it online or by other. And I guess he accidentally hit the button indicating he wanted to be brought on the line, so we brought him on, and then it was kind of awkward, and he just said, "I'm just driving."
I don't think Charles does computers. I don't think he drives either. I think he rides the bus.
Oh, that's right. We've talked about that a long time ago. He was a regular on your show when it was you and Murder One, right, Larry?
We had a little segment for him. Yes. Yes.
The real question being, what length of bus Mr. Chicken Hat rides? Sorry, I had to.
Did you have to do that?
I did. If you have been involved, I don't know. I'm an idiot. But what's going on? I've called in. I am here and things of that nature.
You are here, and I don't know if you realize it's the third anniversary show, and looking back, I saw you actually were the co-host last year for the second anniversary show. So you sort of are doing that again, because I don't know if you heard, but Josh Wheeler quit just a few moments ago.
Oh, wow. I did not hear. I chimed in on the conversation about money loss. Apparently was the show that booked Drew McIntyre a bust.
I don't know if I'd call it a bust. Larry's report said, I think you said
85 people were there. It was definitely a good show, particularly the main event. I mean, but that's what we're talking about is, you know, definitely, I mean, that you're saying, Jonathan, that, you know, Drew Galloway didn't come cheap. Suffice to say, they didn't sell enough tickets to pay his fee, I don't think.
Yeah. I imagine, like I said, someone who's that recent of a WWE name probably doesn't come cheap, given that I actually know what it costs for some of the former names. So, yeah.
But on the bright side, I believe that was only their second show in Canton, their fourth overall, I believe. And the crowd at least doubled from previous shows. So they are at least on an upward trajectory in that sense.
That's good.
And your tag team partner from Saturday drove a good distance to be in the main event against Drew Galloway that very same night.
Oh, well, fair enough. Old Jimmy Rave. I didn't know where he was going. I knew he had to leave after our match, but I had no indication of where he was headed.
How was the match? It was you and Jimmy against the Pegasus. Dynamite Pegasus and
Ace Haven.
Ace Haven. Okay.
Yeah. That, you know, thing.
You're talking about Ace or Amy?
Ace Haven. I don't know what to think about him yet. Just saying. Well, it's just like I'm a very independent thought sort of person, and I've heard a slew of things about him, but I don't take any of those to heart. I just don't know any of him well enough to know. I was there one show. The next show, his wife popped and had a kid, so he was gone, and then now he's back. All I know is he doesn't weigh much because he jumped off the top rope and I caught him out of the air. So,
are you now Jimmy Rave approved?
I'm not even sure what they're calling it, but yeah, it's myself, Jimmy, and Tank are a thing. I'm not sure what. Yeah, Tank, like Tank, Strong Style Psycho, the only Tank I know.
I didn't know he was part of that. I thought Strychnine being Jimmy Rave approved was strange enough, but.
Yeah, Tank is, this is the most recent addition, i.e. Saturday was the addition. It's kind of, like I said, I don't know if they're calling it Jimmy Rave approved, but it's, we're definitely a group of oddballs because we don't match each other at all. Jimmy's a slick, pretty boy. Tank's the monster, and, well, if you can come up with a word for me, good fucking luck. So, yeah, it's been an interesting ride. My entire stint with Peach State, I think I'm on my fourth show, fourth or fifth, and it's been an odd ride. So, yeah. Been a good little house. It was the facility at the fairgrounds. So, a little bit of a different environment than when we were at the Goldust Park when Jonathan rode with me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a good little house. Those people are not fans of me, which is an odd thing, given that everyone loves me everywhere else. So what are you going to do?
Could you give us I know this isn't necessarily your department, could you give us a guess at a crowd number for Peach State?
Over 100, not quite 2.
Okay.
Say in the 150 range. In and around. I mean, it's just a loose estimate. Just going by the number of empty chairs, that's what I'm going by.
Okay.
There was a little short thing of bleachers that was relatively populated. The front row was full. A couple of the floor seats, a few of the floor seats were empty, but that's pretty much it. It was a good little house draw. A main event featured Johnny Swinger against Tommy Too Much. And it was a good match. It started off as a lumberjack match, but everyone decided to start fighting, myself included. So the lumberjack match was thrown out, and it was just turned into a no DQs, but if Tommy left the building, he lost the title on principle. Because apparently he's been running for a minute. That seems to be his deal, is he likes to run away to keep his title, so thus the powers that be prevented this.
And how did the match turn out? Who's the champion?
Swinger beat him. I can't give you a time. It was about 3 or 4 minutes after they sent everybody to the back. Because, again, we couldn't stop fighting. But, yes, Johnny Swinger beat him. So, yeah, Tommy Too Much is no longer the champion there.
So we have a new Heritage champion at Peach State. Interesting.
Yep. But, yeah, that was Saturday's wrestling endeavors. This past week, did a midweek show that was. It's always fun wrestling on a Wednesday night because it's just an odd flavor. But it was the Monstrosity Championship Wrestling show for. We were basically a sideshow for Chambers of Horror, which, you know, it's always an interesting dichotomy when you're not wrestling in front of a wrestling crowd. So we didn't know what to think as far as if people were just going to kind of and walk on, but the people had come to see A Haunted House, but we kept them standing there watching the wrestling show. So that was pretty cool.
And you suffered your first loss, I believe, as MCW champion.
Yep,
but didn't
non-title
lose the title.
Match. Yeah, non-title match against Endzone. And the stipulation, I told him, because, I mean, I've been going against all these huge guys and monsters, and, I mean, figuratively and literally, you know, because these big, almost 7-foot-tall, 300-pound bastards. And I'm like, and I said, give me the biggest and baddest, and they give me you. I was being kind of an idiot, actually, because I underestimated him because he beat me. So if you could beat me, I'll give you a shot at the belt. And he squeaked out a win. I got to give him credit because my win-loss ratio is pretty stacked on one side, no matter what company you're talking about. It's my first loss as NCW champion. And then we had another match later in the night, ended up beating him. But, I mean, he gave me a good fight, good run for my money, so I raised his hand and showed him some respect. One little minor note of how I'm going to slightly pat myself on the back here. You know, Jonathan, that Jake Roberts was there selling promo picks and just doing a little meet and greet thing. Mm-hmm. And before he left, he came to the locker room, shook everyone's hand, said it was nice, you know, nice to meet everyone. And he looks dead at me and he goes, I'm going to imitate him as best I can. He goes, I really liked your match out there, son. That did some good shit, brother. Now you got to dump it. So I got the attaboy from Jake the Snake Roberts. So,
not bad on the imitation there, Strychnine. Not bad at all.
Strychnine is great at imitating people.
Yeah, I'm working on one of you, Larry. It's a work in progress, but I don't really know exactly how far along it's coming, but I'm working on it.
I'd say it's pretty good.
I still don't have one for you, Jonathan. You don't talk that much.
Yeah, and I mean, it's pretty easy. Just have no inflection.
Yeah, be gloriously monotone, and in most scenarios, just stand there and smile.
That's a good one.
I'm just kidding on you, boss man. See, that was Wednesday.
Yes, Friday. At APW. I want to hear about that because that's leading into the big match this Friday, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Well, CB wasn't there. The week before last, CB Suave and his little butt boy, Bolo, I can't remember his actual name, they tried to set me on fire. I was like duct taped and they poured gasoline on me. And literally several, like the security and Jeremy Main, they all dove on top of me to prevent this from happening. And I'm like, hey, you want to play with fire? You're not as good at it as I am. I challenged him to a flaming tables match. The match was booked, signed, all that other happy crud. Then, which leads to this week. And I was supposed to have, you know, basically a little preview for Nightmare. He and I one-on-one, just a regular match, but he didn't show up. Kevin Pierce, who has a long bit about that, but he shows up and he's like, CB has given me his power of attorney. And so breaking down what that was, I'm like, so his problems are your problems, right? For all intents and purposes, tonight you're CB Suave. He took the bait and said yes. And so I said, I'm supposed to have this match with him, and if you can't produce him in the next 2 hours, I'm having my match with you. And he proceeded to appear as if he had soiled himself, because his history against me isn't very well, because he's not really a full-time wrestler. I've beaten him senseless on more than one occasion. We had the CB never showed up. The match, I just beat the fool out of him, and CB's big guy, that Bolo dude, tried to come out, and for some people who don't know, I do a fire breathing act, if you will, but I blew the fireball at him, and thus he didn't decide to come any closer. Long story short, beat Kevin Pierce, senseless, beat him, but next week, it's already signed, booked. I mean, this Friday, me and CB, one-on-one, flaming tables match. The irony of the whole situation, actually not irony, coincidence of the whole situation, is the whole thing with he and I started when I was going to do the ALS Ice Challenge thing live. And they beat me up, drug me to the parking lot, threw the ice on me, and then hit me with the cooler. So all this crap that began with ice is going to end with fire, and that makes me happy because I like coincidence.
Are you going to set the tables on fire yourself with your fire breathing act?
It'll probably just be lighter fluid in the lighter. I doubt it'll. I'll go. I'll take the time or the effort to load up the fire trick because again, it's a that's a little more time consuming. Because the point of said match is, you know, I've got to put him through a table that's on fire. So, unfortunately, I've got him to deal with. But, again, he's got this guy coming around with him. Like I said, I can't remember his name. But he's a real stocky big guy. Running into him is like hitting a brick wall. I got to give him that. But
I think you had it right. You said Bolo, right?
Yeah, I think that's it. Bolo, Bozo, Bongo.
I'm looking at the poster for the event. It says Bolo is his name. So
okay. Meathead number two. yeah, I've got to deal with him on the side is the only drawback to this. Because, credit where it's due, TV's good. But, you know, having to deal with both of them is going to make it extra difficult. So hopefully I'm not a crispy critter because the following night is when I go into the cage at Anarchy for the gauntlet match for the heavyweight title. So I fortunately, this past Anarchy show, I won a triple threat match for advantage because, you know, it's gauntlet style, but I'm last as far as entry before they bring out BJ. So I've got a good shot going in. Like I said, I got the advantage. So hopefully everything goes my way Friday night, so I'll be good straight to go Saturday at Anarchy because I've never been Anarchy champion, and that's my current goal on my plate because, you know, almost everywhere else I've been, it's like standing atop the world and there's nothing left to conquer because I've won every title almost everywhere else I've gone except for Anarchy. I've never had their heavyweight championship, and that's what I want.
And didn't you win you won a number one contenders match fairly recently, right?
Yeah, I had the match, but it got all screwed up. Because, it's B.J. Hancock, of course. If you're against B.J. Hancock, you're against Lars Manderson, you're against Miss Rachel, you're against Joey Reimer. Between all four of them, they managed to mess me up, and I lost. So, although I did have the fun of spearing Joey Reimer out of the air. He folded like a cheap lawn chair, and that pleased me. yeah, he met his face in the air. But it did suck because I lost.
Hey, Strychnine, I'm looking at the photo on the Anarchy Facebook page of the cage, and they're showing the photo of the old rickety cage. Do you know if they will have a new cage? I understood that they might for this event. Do you have any idea of that?
I do not know. That cage has been around since I was going to shows in Anarchy. I have shed much blood inside that cage because it used to be the one that we got as a loaner for APW as well. Rewind to Nightmare on Cherry Street 2011, the match with myself and Anthony Henry for the title where I lost. The cage then went back to Anarchy, and then I was in it again a week later for War Games. And when they were carrying it in the building, it was funny because I'm looking at it, and there were still shreds of my face on the cage. I'm like, oh, there's my head. Son of a bitch.
I mean, that cage looked like it was ready to go the last time it was up when they had, was it Jeter and Judas? And
sir, that thing was ready to go back in 2004.
Well, true.
I would, if I told you anything else, I'd be a liar, and I respect you more than that. But that thing is just, we don't even borrow it anymore at APW. They even lock the cages. So, which, I gotta say, from being inside of it, I don't know, I might want the rickety one a little bit more because oxygen cages hurt worse. It's got less give and mesh because the square tubing is, you know, less flexible, less malleable. So, yeah, I mean, if going to that gives that thing, it hurts worse. Oh, well. All comes with a game. So, is there any plans that we know of in the future for more MCW dates? Is there anything booked yet, or is it just kind of up in the air?
Last I heard from Professor Morte was they're working on a date for December back at the Masquerade.
All right, cool.
And just awaiting a confirmation from the venue. There's a hold on the date from a concert promoter, and they have to find out if that show is happening or not before MCW gets a yes or a no.
Yeah. It would be the ultimate bad assery, and I know it could never happen if somehow we could incorporate ourselves with that Misfits concert. But,
Misfits or Gwar is also playing, I think, the night after Misfits or night before.
I think Gwar would be more down for those sorts of shenanigans, really. Like, if we were to fucking run the show, like, in the music park or something like that, after Gwar is over with, they would probably want to do something. Because have you ever seen where they turn the stage into a ring and have to defend the Frank Sinatra belts of universal domination?
Yeah, I saw that like 2 or 3 years ago when they did that. And they also actually had matches at Dragon Con many years ago that included members of Gwar and the Misfits.
Sweet. But, because I saw the only time I've ever seen Gwar, it was at the gathering at 4:30 in the morning. And like I said, when it first started, they cut off Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton's heads. And then later the aliens showed up and stole the Frank Sinatra belts. And they had to get them back. which the Frank Sinatra belts of universal domination look even weirder than the MCW belt, because it just like looks like big rocks on a string. So
yeah,
the Underworld title being a very large rubber bat with Professor Morte's face on it. One sure didn't even look weirder than that, but I was wrong.
Yeah, well, I know there will also be some MCW superstars, I guess you would call them, appearing at the NWA Atlanta show this Saturday. I think there's going to be a battle royal of some sort, and there's going to be some monsters in that, since it's October Havoc, which has the same logo as Halloween Havoc, which they do a lot down there.
Bam. Because fuck creativity, that's why.
I love WCW pay-per-view logos, though. I'm actually glad someone's using them.
Yeah, I did dig how WCW spent a lot of money on stuff that necessarily didn't have a return, but was kind of cool, which is stuff like custom ring, mat, their ring canvases and things like that. And, they would have, a custom set of turnbuckles for different events. And, I mean, like I said, it looked cool, but there really wasn't too much of a return on that investment. And what are you going to do? WCW did that with a lot of shit.
I know you don't want to look too far past all these big matches this weekend, but what else do you have coming up? Are there other promotions that you're working for regularly, aside from Peach State, Anarchy, APW, and MCW?
No, between those four, I think my plate's pretty full. So
yeah.
I'll go on record to say that for the time being, yeah. Because, of course, APW, it's every Friday.
Right.
And, Anarchy's first and third Saturday, or second and fourth, never mind. And Peach State's first and third. Monstrosity is, when the wind blows to the southwestern direction. Under a beat.
I've asked a few people on this show this, and I'll ask you too. Is there some place, if the opportunity presented itself, that you would want to work that you have not worked yet?
I have to think about that one. Just in general, I don't know. I probably would if it didn't overlap with the schedules and everything, I wouldn't mind working in NWA Atlanta. It's just, the dates they run are already spoken for. Because mm-hmm. other company that I would take bookings at here or there, other than the aforementioned four, was Southern Fried, but all of their dates overlap other dates that are priority. So, which Southern Fried, that's a whole another interesting animal.
Speaking of shaky rings.
Well, I was at that show with the shaky ring, and I haven't had a chance to go back since then, and that was probably about a year and a half ago, maybe more. But my understanding is that the ring has gotten better, as have the shows, and the quality of the in-ring product and everything.
My last venture with Southern Fried, which is literally every time I go there, what I do in some way involves Vicious Vic Rose, in some way. the last time it was he and I one-on-one, and it wasn't that the ring was shaky, it's that they had to relocate. I think it was supposed to be at the Armory, but the Armory, the National Guard, got called to action, so they put us at the Foreign Legion or something like that, and I'm only 6 feet tall, but I can reach up and touch the ceiling with my hand. And on the same show, Moose was booked, Cody Hall, freaking Darkmon. I mean, these people, their heads can touch the ceiling almost. so that was interesting. It was kind of like that MCW show we did at the Athens, the AFCON.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
or
another
Academy Theater. Academy Theater was almost like that.
You know, it's like one of those things where you look up and go, wow, there's not going to be much aeronautics going on here. Nope. TNT was like that, but it was different. There was like a couple turnbuckles that had some fly space, but the two of them, if you stood on the top rope, you hit your head on a beam. It was right there. So having space to work is always nice. Sometimes you don't get the luxury, so just kind of go with what you got.
Right. I know it's a few months removed at this point, but how was the gathering this year?
The gathering was really fun.
Of the Juggalos, for those who aren't familiar.
Yeah. One of those outdoor music festivals where you live on a campground for a couple of days, ran by the Insane Clown Posse and its affiliates. But it's, you know, as far as the music acts, it's far more than just ICP. You know, name a genre and they've had it there. this year, I think the one everyone was talking about other than ICP was Cannibal Corpse, just blew everybody away. It was great.
Well, there was a fan I heard of Cannibal Corpse.
I think Larry's silence is his answer, sir.
what kind of music does Larry Goodman listen to?
Mostly jazz.
Awesome. I'm originally from Louisiana, so I don't have the option to not like jazz, sir.
Yeah, and particularly anything from the New Orleans area I love to listen to, yeah. But Cannibal Corpse, no, I'll pass on that.
Yeah, there was a guy from metalinjection.com who had a chest camera and went in the mosh pit at that show, and it was just ridiculous. The more ridiculous part to me was I watched the video, and I'm just watching myself go by, there I am. There I am. There I go again. There I am, throwing my friend Jay. Because red kilt, white belt, it's pretty easy to pick me out. the gathering, I had two matches on. They always do. They did Kaiju the first night, which is. I'm not even going to go into Kaiju. Then they do a ladies show the second night, and they have two JCW shows. Each night, and all this is after main stage is over. So the show's kicking off about 1:30 in the morning. But the first JCW show, I was an 8-man. My team went over. It's just randomness thrown in. The second night, I was in a deathmatch battle royal, which is one of the strangest concepts I've ever been in. you enter a strength, you know, Royal Rumble style, one at a time in intervals, and everyone brings a weapon with them. The eliminations are over the top rope, but only after you've been busted open. So you can, if someone throws you out, if you're not bleeding, then you're still in. A guy brought an entire box of fluorescent light bulbs, and I've discovered I'm not a fan of those. When you get hit, they explode, and then there's just broken glass everywhere. Woohoo. My back looked like a large animal had chewed on me. Because I don't usually do deathmatch stuff, because as, you know, intense of a person as I am, to me, there's not much art to the deathmatch. It doesn't show much wrestling skill to swing object at someone.
Yeah.
It has its place, but that's not what I want to do. I'm better at wrestling. But I didn't win that match. I can't remember what I got hit with that busted me open. It was either the glass or I think somebody had one of those big plastic wiffle ball bats, but it had some tacks all over it. And,
Yeah,
I got hit with that. I did shove a pair of scissors through someone's tongue. So we're going to leave that exactly where it is. The Gathering was interesting. I think the main event of that show was Too Tough Tony against Tommy Dreamer, and they had a really good match. The Cutter Brothers, who were champions at the time, I can't remember if they retained or lost to the Ring Riders. I think they lost. The Boogeyman was there again. But I think that was pretty much the extent of the big names. They had a few of the bigger names with the women. The bigger names of the indies anyway. Shelly Martinez was there. Cherry Bomb. Veda Scott, I think, was there. I think they had more bigger indie names on the women's show than the men's. But, yep. It's another Gathering for the books. So,
when does that take place? I forget.
This year was in July, which fucked my year up because it's usually the second weekend of August. It made my year shorter because those of us who go to Gathering, you live your year Gathering to Gathering. New Year's doesn't mean much. So, but it was late July this year. This year was in Thornville, Ohio, as opposed to my previous gatherings had all been in Cayman Rock, Illinois, at Hog Rock Campground.
Yeah.
So this year was Legend Valley, which was a lot smaller, but it was a really good turnout. So thinking ICP either A, lost less money than normal, or B, made some. Because I'm to understand the whole thing is they lose money every year on the Gathering, but, you know, ICP understand that without their specific fan base, they're broke. Because their sound has never been mainstream, never will be, and they can't sell it to just anyone. So keep the fans they got happy or they won't eat.
Right. Well, we are about out of time, Strict Nine. Did you have anything else you wanted to mention or any other upcoming shows? I guess Peach State is the following weekend. Do you know what's going on for you there yet?
I do not. I think, if I heard correctly, I think they're talking about a six-man Ace Haven, Pegasus, and Odinson against myself, Jimmy, and Tank. I think that was what I was told, but don't quote me on that.
Well, that sounds like a logical progression from the last couple of shows.
Yep. And that'll be at VFW Fairgrounds again.
Yeah. I think I like that venue better than the Goldust Park.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, that place has history, too.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Well, on that note, unless Larry has anything else for you, Larry, you got anything else for Strychnine?
One last thing. I've never asked you this, Strychnine. I've always been curious about your voice.
That is the $64,000 question, but feel free to go ahead and ask it.
What the hell happened? I mean, how did you wind up with the voice you have?
I can honestly say nothing really happened when the natural progression of one's voice dropping for puberty. Mine ended up like this.
Wow.
It's funny because I sound like I've been smoking since before I was born.
Yeah.
That's not true. I've actually never used tobacco in my life, so I'll be 31 in a few weeks. Yeah. So, yeah, I've never used tobacco in my life, but my voice is, yeah.
Interesting.
That's all I got. But, yeah, I get asked if this is my real voice a lot, which is kind of I don't get offended, but it's kind of an odd question. The question of what happened to your voice is logical. The question of, is that your real voice, is, to me, it's kind of stupid, but I do the best I can to answer it anyway.
Yeah, see, I had in my mind maybe you suffered some kind of a wrestling injury that caused it or something, some sort of more dramatic story, but okay.
No, that's all I got. That's,
all right.
Sadly, that's as interesting as it gets. Right, well, I will be around, Larry and Jonathan. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
I'm
and
sure
good luck in all these
yeah,
huge matches you have.
I'm sorry, what?
Go ahead, Larry.
Just going to say, I'll see you Saturday at Anarchy.
And if everything goes like I planned, I'll be walking out with the Anarchy title for my first time. Bam. Yeah.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you very much. All right, guys. Bye.
Bye. Hey, Jonathan, before we go, NWA Atlanta came up in the conversation, and we would be remiss if we did not mention that they're bringing in NWA World Champion Rob Conway for their show this Saturday in Griffin versus Tyson Dean for the NWA
title. Yeah, they've got a lot of big matches. NWA World title is on the line, I believe, against Tyson, who is the NWA Georgia champion, and then Drew Adler is defending the NWA Atlanta title. I forget.
Anderson.
Oh, right.
Against
Andy Anderson.
And then we have, of course, we have the dreaded casket match for the NWA Georgia Tag Team Championship.
Right.
Beautiful Ball Besties versus Blunt Force Trauma.
Which is Payne and Bill the Butcher. That actually should be a good match.
Yeah, that could be good.
And then the NWA Atlanta Junior Heavyweight Tournament Finals take place. That's Marvelous Marco against Koontz. I'm not familiar with Koontz.
Koontz trained with Micah Taylor, who was down at Rampage as a referee for a while.
Okay. And then apparently Frydaddy has the Reach for the Stars briefcase, which I'm assuming is just like the Money in the Bank briefcase. And he's promised to cash it in on Tyson Dean after the Conway match. So I guess that's – I don't know why he wouldn't cash it in on Conway if Conway wins, but so could have a new world title or world champion as well as a new Georgia champion, and it could be the same person, I suppose. I'm also looking at – we mentioned Southern Fried Championship Wrestling. Hallow Scream is this Saturday, and – I don't know if Nigel Sherrod is still their champion, but it has him taking on Logan Creed. It doesn't indicate if it's a title match. The main event is a barbed wire match for the tag titles against between Cowboy Way and the Trinity. Tommy Rich will be there. It looks like it's could be a good show. And I'm just looking at other what else is coming up. Those are the big ones, I guess, aside from what we already talked about.
And, of course, the headline match at the Anarchy is the War Games.
Right.
With Seven, Jagged Edge, and Iceberg against Judas, Azrael, and Jeter.
Good luck keeping up with all that. There's, like, I think every match is at least 4 or 5 or 6 people, right?
You are correct. There is not a singles match on the card that I'm aware of. So that, yes, multiple, as Josh mentioned before he departed, multi-man matches all over the place.
And all inside the cage.
Yes.
UIW is also running on Saturday. And I guess AJ Steele is their new champion. He's accepting the challenge of Adrian Armour. Siler Cross and Murder One have a match. Chip Day and Josh Storm. Joey Kidman and Don Yoder. A few other matches on that. So pretty big weekend for Georgia wrestling. And I guess that's it. That's all the shows I see. You can check them out at gwhnewsandnotes.blogspot.com. And next week, I just confirmed Brian Blaze will be calling in.
Oh, nice.
Unfortunately, it looks like Wicked Nemesis beat us to the punch. He's going to be on his show this Wednesday on Beyond Ringside, but we already had Strychnine scheduled for tonight, so wasn't able to get him in any sooner. But yeah, for those who don't know, he was found not guilty. I guess it was, I think that was Friday when all that happened. So he's back out, and I believe he has already returned to the ring. But we will find out next Saturday when we talk to Brian Blaze. And I guess I'll have a new co-host. I don't know who that'll be, but
tune in next Monday night to
applications
find out.
Or submissions. anything else from you, Larry?
No, I think that pretty well covers the ground.
You still there, Larry?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Wait. Yeah, okay. Good night, Larry. Everyone else, thanks to Strychnine. Talk to you next Monday.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information on upcoming events and more. As always, we thank you for your continued support.